walk with thee. Sometimes that's all we have is a closer walk.
Yes, yes.
We come to you this morning giving all honor, all praise to Almighty God, who is certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognize my pulpit associates, Reverend McMillan, Reverend Riley, my lovely wife, and the part of my church family that's here. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand and profess the Word of God. Let us go to God. Prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for only you know what needs to be said. Speak, Lord, for it's only your words that mean anything. It's only your words that will last. It's only your words that are true wisdom. It's only your words that fit what we need from day to day. That keeps us moving, Lord. It's only your words. Speak, Lord. Lord, we listen. We submit to you, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove. Have your way in this place. Say to us that are here, Lord, what you would want us to hear. If you should speak, Lord, then we should hear. If you should say, tell us what to do, Lord, then we will do it. We submit to you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wish we were full of fathers this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are not. So we want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, briefly to Proverbs. Just read a couple of scriptures here. One from Proverbs 22, verse 6. And then I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6. Proverbs 22 and 6 reads thusly. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then if you turn over to Ephesians 6, just read verse 4, I'll be preaching from verses 6, 1 through 4. But I want to just read verse 4. So Ephesians 6 and 4. It reads thusly. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When I started considering the message for Father's Day, I realized that the best advice I could give to the godly father was to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So what I did is extended that series to a third portion here. It's continuing steadfastly, part 3. And after the colon, you'll have advice for the godly father. So continuing steadfastly, advice for the godly father. There's at least two stories of when the first Father's Day was celebrated. According to some accounts, the first Father's Day was celebrated in Washington State on June 19, 1910. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd came up with the idea of honoring and celebrating her father while listening to a Mother's Day sermon at church in 1909. She felt as though mothers were getting all the acclaim while fathers were equally deserving of a day of praise. She initially suggested June 5th, the anniversary of her father's death, to be designated this day for Father's Day. But due to some bad planning, the celebration in Spokane, Washington was deferred to the third Sunday in June. The other story of the first Father's Day in America happened all the way on the other side of the country in Fairmont, West Virginia, on July 5th, 1908. Grace Golden Clayton suggested to the minister of the local Methodist church that they hold services to celebrate fathers after a deadly mine explosion killed 361 men. While Father's Day was celebrated locally in several communities across the country, unofficial support to make the celebration a national holiday began almost immediately. William Jennings Bryan was one of his staunchest proponents. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge recommended that Father's Day become a national holiday, but no official action was taken. In 1966, Lyndon B. Johnson, through an executive order, designated the third Sunday in June as the official day to celebrate Father's Day. However, it wasn't until 1972, during the Nixon administration, that Father's Day was officially recognized as a national holiday. That was interesting to me. But both women would probably be displeased to know that Mother's Day still gets the lion's share of attention. I don't think that surprises anyone to hear that. If it does, all I have to do is go to the restaurants today and see if they have to fight to get in. I don't think so. So today, I want to just share with you briefly some advice for the godly father. Number one, train your children in the way that they should go. Train them in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So what should you teach your child? The scripture coming from Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, talks about the spirit-filled life and the parent-child relationship. Mm-hmm. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Mm-hmm. Honor your father and mother, mm-hmm. which is the first commandment with promise, yes. that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents. That's a simple command. So parents have to teach that to their children. Children ought to obey their parents. This does not mean that it's just the children's responsibility.
Amen.
But it means that the parents are responsible for teaching their children obedience.
Yes.
That's one of the most important jobs for a parent. You see, we don't need to teach our children how to disobey. That's because they inherited that from Adam.
Yes.
We already know how to do the wrong thing. We already know how to disobey.
Yes.
But parents need to teach their children how to obey.
Yes.
You need to teach a child obedience so that they will grow up knowing how to obey God.
Yes.
Even when they don't understand everything about God, they
right.
still need to obey God. Even when they don't want to obey, they need to understand obedience. So there must be penalties for disobedience, because obedience has to be learned. This is instructions to the godly father. This is Father's Day. Others can learn from this, but this is Father's Day, and the scripture says fathers. Tells them what to do here. So for a Christian, obedience is just the right thing to do. It has two sides to that. It's, the scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. And so it's a directive from God. So by obeying, you're following God's command. And by obeying your parents, children honor their parents by obedience. That's how you honor your parents. And I want you to note here that what Paul notes, he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. And this is, we got youth in here. The first commandment with a promise. It says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's a promise that God says, if you do the right thing, obey your parents, God will bless the child
yes.
who obeys. Train them up the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. If you will allow me to digress for a minute, and it's a planned digression. I sit and took time. I made myself a note to digress.
Okay.
So it's a planned digression. What God made clear to us as parents, and particularly today being Father's Day, he said here that this scripture was the first one with promise. And if you look back at what God taught us in the Ten Commandments, if you look at the division of the Ten Commandments, they could be condensed to the two commands that we know, the love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So the first four commandments are directed toward God. It's, I am your Lord, I am the Lord God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship false gods. All about God. You should never take my name in vain. All about God. You should keep the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Still directed toward God. Then I'm going to skip the fifth one and go back to it. But the last five there says, you shall not murder. That's us. Treat your neighbor like you would want to be treated. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Mm-hmm. You shall not lie. You shall never want what belongs to others. So all directed to us to love your neighbor as yourself. So you can summarize those two sections of the Ten Commandments as directed toward God and directed toward us. But when you look at that fifth commandment, the one that has promise, it says, honor your father and your mother. So it's a command from God, which makes it all about God, doing what God tells you to do. So it's all about him. But it also directs attention to the children to honor your father and your mother, which says it's all about us as well. Matthew 22 says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Train them up.
Yes.
In the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart. Number two, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are tasked with a heavy burden. Mm-hmm. If you look back at Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's a heavy burden right there. Isn't
it? Yeah, what?
It's Father's Day. I can take some leeway. It's Father's Day. Even as Christ is head of the church, uh-huh. It's not my word, it's God's word.
That's right.
And he is the savior of the body. And verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives,
yes,
as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And so fathers have a heavy burden to carry sometimes. Then you look at this verse 4 in Ephesians that I want to just spend a minute with. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture. Look at that word. Nurture, that which promotes growth, that which promotes education, that which promotes instructions. You are to nurture the child and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Admonition is gentle reproof, gentle counseling against a fault, instructions and duties and caution and direction. It's a heavy burden what you're supposed to do, how you are to guide, to nurture, to admonish that child. So the question becomes, how do we train and admonish but not provoke. We still were a whole lot of men here. How do we train and admonish without provoking? How do we give them the right example without provoking? Look at the word provoke. It provoke says to stimulate or give rise to a reaction or emotion, typically a strong or unwelcome reaction. Provoke. I often tell fathers or men in general, sometimes it goes past just the men, but most of the time is the men, when I remind them that you are the father. When you are the father, no matter how much that child gets on your nerves, no matter what they might do, but it's up to you to communicate with that child. It's up to you to maintain the right perspective so that you don't provoke anger.
All right.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Speaking from personal experiences. But when you get out of control, when you say the wrong thing and then you provoke the child, just because the child provoke you, I'm gonna say that again. See, just because the child provoke you does not give you the right to provoke them.
All right, now.
It's because you are the father.
Yes.
So when you, some of you mothers can listen to this too.
Oh, yeah.
So when you are disciplining a child, you should first have control of you. Dwayne.
Self-control.
See, what right have you to say to your child that they need discipline when you obviously need it yourself?
Amen.
Dwayne. Talk to me, hang on. Step on nobody else's toes. I'm gonna let you step on your own toes. So it says, nurture and admonish. It says, so give them all of what they need and devise a way of getting through to them that does not provoke the child. Sounds one-sided, don't it? They ain't know my child when they wrote the Bible. But the direction is clear. It says, see, if we as fathers and parents, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, covers us, cleanses us. So we have to spend time with God to direct our children. And it says, make sure you teach them obedience. make sure they get that lesson. If they don't have obedience, if they do not obey, it's on you, fathers. So bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give them the example where somebody, when they say it, acted just like his daddy. That that'll be a good thing.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Bring them up in the nurture, admonition of the Lord. This is a responsibility for fathers. Not for one to push off on the mother. They got their own responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Not the one to put off to the Sunday school. But it's a responsibility for the fathers. Mm-hmm. Fathers, you are to raise your children on the Word of God. The Word of God, it's written for all of us. If you look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, mm-hmm. upon whom the ends of the world are come. But it says the Bible was written to train us, so if we remain true to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, those things that God has made so plain to us, if we walk in God's word, then we will be able to raise our children as they ought to be raised. Mm-hmm. Fathers, Dwayne, and finally, show them the example they should follow. You can't show them the way if you don't know the way. You can't teach them obedience if you don't obey. Thomas, when he spoke to the Lord in John 14, he said, Lord, we do not know whether thou goest. Uh-huh. And how can we know the way? I wish there was more fathers here, because sometimes he said, I don't know what to do, Lord. How am I supposed to know the way? I didn't write a handbook, but God said, yeah, I did. Yeah. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Go in John 14:23. It says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. If you show your children an example that I'm obeying him, if I walk in the word, and I pattern my life after Jesus, and I show my child what it is to walk in the Lord, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And as I said last week, when we never, never stray from the simplicity that's in Christ. Mm-hmm. Paul instructs us in 1 Corinthians 11, be ye followers of me. Can you say that? I just wish there were more men there. See if they could say, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And I'm going to say it again. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Follow me as I follow Christ. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even if I have loved you, you should also love one another. And as I prepare to close, reading from the greatest father and son relationship of all time, it's our goal to be able to say, as Jesus the Son did to God the Father, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given for me to do. I think every man with his child wants one day to be able to look at that child, and that child has obtained to a place in life that you can look at that child and say, got that for me. And you like for that child to look back at you and say, I got that from him. Fathers, wouldn't you like one day to have your child on the TV? I want to give a shout out to my daddy. These shout outs all the time, they shout out to their mama. Yeah. All the time. Grandma. Grandmama. Both my mamas. I'm on three or four mamas and you still ain't got no daddy.
Big mama.
Big mama. But it would be wonderful just to hear and say, thanks, Dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was watching a baseball game last night, and this young man had brought his dad to the game. His daddy was real old, but he had brought his dad to the game, and his daddy was just so pumped up and just so proud. He said about 15 times how proud he was of his son. He always has been a good boy, and right now you can just see what he's doing now, because he had brought him. His dad had always wanted to go to a Mississippi State baseball game, and his dad. And he took his dad to that game. That's going viral. Y'all can look it up. It's all over the place. But it's just so, we'd be so proud when you can make a father, we can please the father, say, thanks, Dad. Mm-hmm. One way you can thank your dad, children, is to be obedient, to listen. When your father says something, when your father's whole goal is to make it better, to do something for you, to guide you the right way, it would be wonderful if you could just honor your father and mother and say, thanks. Be obedient. Train up your child. Teach him to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else they need will be added to them. And then perhaps one day your child can say, I got that from my daddy. Be ye followers of me even as I am of Jesus Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Just a little advice for the godly father. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, he who knows all and sees all. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you on this Father's Day, a day for recognizing fathers, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for providing strength and guidance to the fathers who look to you, Lord. And we thank you for providing us with a handbook of how we should guide our children. We pray now strength to all of the fathers, Lord, as they try to guide their families in the way that you would have them go. Strengthen them, Lord. Touch them as they submit, Lord God, and let them know that it's all right if you don't know everything. Yes. You just need to know where to go and get your answers. Oh, Lord, thank you. We praise your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray.